Monty?
Has arrived. Good morning, Monty. This is Jeannie.
Good morning, Jeannie.
How are you?
Doing real good this morning.
That's great. Good to hear it.
And you?
I'm great, too. I got up early this morning, so I'm all revved up and ready to go.
Jeannie, have you ever thought about increasing your income approximately 20% over what you made last year?
Yes, I have. Sounds good. Good practicing.
Well, guess what I have? I have something that I think you'd want to take a look at. That's short. It shouldn't happen that quick, but you get the point.
No, I do. Well, thank you. Betty has arrived. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning, Jeannie.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good, good. How's your puppy dog?
Doing a little better.
Okay, good.
Yeah, doing a little better.
Okay. You know, I got to thinking about the vet coming to your house yesterday, too.
Yeah, that's pretty nice option.
No, it is. That's pretty neat. That's what you get when you're... Now, are you in a small area, or where are you in Pennsylvania?
We're about 10 miles outside, north of the city of Pittsburgh.
Okay. All right.
So it's not a small community kind of thing.
Okay.
She used to be with this veterinary association that I
has arrived,
and she branched out on her own to do this mobile vet kind of thing.
Okay.
So I stayed with her because she's good with Great Danes.
Oh, good. Somebody else joined us? Want to say hello? Good morning.
Hi, this is Elaine. How are you, Jeannie?
I'm good, Elaine. How are you?
We are in the midst of a huge, huge snowstorm.
Are you? I thought something was heading that way.
Yeah, all of Kansas is just covered. We might even get like 15 or 16 inches of snow.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
Has arrived. I saw that on the Weather Channel this morning.
Did you?
Uh-huh. Yeah. We had snow in Scottsdale and Phoenix in the form of small hail, it looked like, I guess. We didn't have it at our house. But, yeah, all our mountains are covered around the area here. Yesterday we had a rainstorm.
Oh, my goodness.
So that could be what swept through and is hitting you now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we even had lightning and thunder with our snow.
Wow. Yeah, that's what happened here.
Sharon Joanne
has arrived.
Have you ever had snow before, Jeannie?
We have. Every year we usually get some, but in the valley, having it right here in the valley is pretty rare.
Wow.
Usually get it in the mountains. The mountains are about 1,000 feet higher than we are, and so sometimes it comes down that low, but yeah, pretty wild. Good morning, Nancy. I heard Sharon Joanne.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah. Well, so let's get started, I suppose. I hear Steve come on or whatever, but anybody else? Everybody doing all right this morning?
Yep.
Yep. Good. Yep. That's great. Well, I guess the purpose of our call, what are we calling our call again, Char?
Oh, it's still advanced lifestyle.
It's still advanced lifestyle, okay.
Has arrived.
So we've been sort of working. Yesterday we worked a little bit on the purpose of our call, a little statement. Perhaps. Somebody else arrived? Good morning. So to the support and education and accountability, to provide education. We said that already. Promote good lifestyle habits for a healthy... Boy, is my writing bad.
Yeah, I'm looking at mine, and it's not... Mine, I can't read either, so...
Good lifestyle habits for a healthy, and then I put creating and maintaining habits for a healthy lifestyle. That must have meant what I meant to put. That the support and accountability and those kind of things, too. And so we'll go over our points a little later. If anybody would like to report about your points, if you're journaling those things down, if you're keeping track, it's pretty interesting what happens when you keep track, for me. And I see a lot of areas that I can improve in, and I think maybe that's one of the advantages or the reasons why journaling stuff is important. I picked up a magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, the other day, and one of the articles that's across the front is Diabetes, a Silent Epidemic. And pretty astounded at this is part two, so the other issue before this one, I suppose, had the part one, but the first couple of paragraphs in here were pretty enlightening to me, and then I wanted just to read a little piece of it, and then go to Eat to Live, Dr. Furman's book. He has something to say about it, too. So the title of this article is Diabetes, a Silent Epidemic, and it's written by C.J. Kuiltanen.
He has arrived.
I was looking to see. At the end, he is a freelance writer and professional health coach who teaches Keep Your Toes workshops in New York and Montana for those with diabetes and pre-diabetes. He is a certified emotion code practitioner and certified EFT, which is Emotional Freedom Techniques trainer and practitioner. Several good books listed along this too, but anyway. America's diabetes rate is increasing so rapidly that the Wall Street Journal calls it a growth industry. That was pretty interesting. Oh. Public health officials estimate that by 2050, one-third of America's population will have diabetes. Diabetes trade shows and expos display the latest prescription drugs and technological breakthroughs for diagnosing and treating the illness. TV commercials feature celebrity endorsements for diabetes care products, and a variety of diabetes magazines, newsletters, blogs, and online forums offer articles, recipes, and recommendations for patients and their families. Yet despite all these efforts, few Americans with diabetes improve enough to avoid the nerve damage, neuropathy, foot pain, frozen shoulder, vision loss, confusion, digestive disorders, kidney disease, heart disease, chronic infections, and gangrene that are considered, quote, normal diabetic complications. Here's why. 23 years ago, Diana Schwartzbein, MD, completed 9 years of medical training in endocrinology and metabolism and was hired by a prestigious medical clinic to treat patients with type 2, formerly called adult onset diabetes. Her new patients all said, please don't tell me the same thing my other doctors have said because it doesn't work. They complained of high blood sugar levels, high blood pressure despite medication, chronic fatigue, weight gain, and abnormal cholesterol profiles. Her patients followed the American Diabetes Association diet, the ADA diet, a low-calorie, high-carbohydrate, low-fat, low-protein program that emphasized fruit, milk, bread, and very little fat. It was complicated, says Schwartzbein in her book, The Schwartzbein Principle. They had to measure everything they ate, proteins and fats, as well as carbohydrates. These patients had stuck to this diet only to see their condition worsen. Not knowing what else to do, Schwartzbein gave each patient a portable glucometer with instructions to monitor blood sugar before and after meals and at bedtime, keeping track of everything that might affect it, such as food choices, exercise, and other activities. When they returned a week later, the patients all exclaimed, "It's the food I'm eating." They were right. In the morning, she says, all had normal blood sugar. And then they ate the perfect ADA breakfast of cereal with the non-fat milk, a banana, and orange juice, and watched their blood sugar rise 100 to 200 points. A normal response to any meal is 10 to 20 points. The body recognizes all carbohydrates as sugar, whether they are in form of grains, starches, dairy, fruits, or sweets. I suddenly realized, says Schwartzstein, that by recommending a high-carbohydrate diet, we were giving sugar to diabetics. All of my type 2 diabetic patients returned with the same observations. The ADA diet was causing their blood sugars to rise to dangerous levels. So then she ran this experiment, reversing things, and she was helping them to come down off of their medications, too, at the same time, which I think Dr. McDougall has done that as well, monitoring them, and they got good results. The article continues on with some interesting things, which it's a little more technical, which I kind of like sometimes. But another thing in the article that I read here before we go to Dr. Furman's book was that why it's hard to get good help, and this was just kind of interesting. I think we probably know this a little bit, but in 1999, Beth Israel Medical Center in New York City opened a diabetes clinic linked to treatment centers at four hospitals across the city. The centers were boot camps for diabetic patients, teaching them how to check and control their blood sugar levels while undergoing prolonged monitoring by a team of specialists. The counseling and monitoring worked well, and the patients improved. But because the centers failed to make a profit, they were closed the following year. As the New York Times reported in 2006, they were victims of the Byzantine world of American healthcare, in which the real profit is made not by controlling chronic illnesses like diabetes, but by treating their many complications. For example, insurers refuse to pay $150 for a diabetic patient to see a podiatrist who could help prevent foot ailments associated with diabetes, but they covered amputations costing more than $30,000. Patients had trouble securing reimbursement for a $75 visit to a nutritionist who counseled them on controlling diabetes, but insurers paid $315 per dialysis treatment for patients whose diet had destroyed their kidneys. So, you know, some of this stuff just I get, well, my goodness, isn't that interesting? And then at the end, it says, it isn't easy to defy the recommendations of well-intentioned physicians or diabetes educators who follow ADA guidelines with or without the support of friends and family. But if you're serious about saving your own life, it pays to be proactive, independent, and well-informed. Amen to that.
Wow. That's interesting with the breakfast that you talked about, with the orange juice and the whatever else. I remember when my mother, who was a type 1 diabetic, would start to go into shock. You gave her sugar. And if you didn't have sugar, orange juice worked really well, too. So, of course, your blood sugar is going to go up when you're having that for breakfast.
And she's talking about, you know, a normal person, your blood sugar level will go up and it will return back to normal. But if you're a diabetic, it doesn't come back to normal.
No, because you don't have the insulin to counterbalance it. You've already taken your insulin before the meal.
Mm-hmm. And so in Eat to Live by Joel Furman on page, well, in my copy, 249, but it's in, it talks about diabetes, the consequence of obesity. There's a really good little section here, and I started reading a little bit about this because I know a couple of people that are, well, one's pre-diabetic, they're saying, and the other one is ready to go on insulin, or the doctor said they're going to put them on insulin next, and so I've just started kind of had an interest in it, as well as belly fat and those kind of things, which I am, even though I'm slender, I have a tendency to get the belly fat around here, and I'm like, okay, you know, and I do eat, I've eaten quite a few carbohydrates and things, and so, just kind of retraining myself, too. He says, more than 20 million Americans have diabetes. As our population grows fatter, this figure is climbing. Diabetes is a nutritionally related disease, one that is both preventable and reversible in the case of type 2 diabetes through nutritional methods. Diabetes can take a severe toll, causing heart attacks and strokes, as well as other serious complications. More than 80% of adults with type 2 diabetes die of heart attacks and strokes. The statistics are even more frustrating when you watch people gain weight, become even more diabetic, and develop attendant complications, all while under the care of their physicians. Patients are told to learn to live with it and to learn to control it because it can't be cured. No, no, and no, I say. Don't live with it. Get thin and get rid of it, as many of my patients have. I don't want to just read this whole time. We got other things to do here, but let's see. Anyway, so he explains a little bit about what insulin does in the body, which is kind of cool too. But it also says insulin for a type 2 diabetic can make things worse. Insulin works less effectively when people eat fatty foods or if they gain weight. He explains how the pancreas works and all that kind of stuff too. So, but diets containing less fat improve insulin sensitivity, as does weight loss. An individual who is overweight requires more insulin whether he or she is diabetic or not. In fact, giving overweight diabetic people even more insulin makes them sicker by promoting weight gain. They become even more diabetic. So as we gain weight, our body will compensate for the insulin. But if you continue to do that, then your pancreas gets overworked after about 10 years, and then it gets out of control. So that's why the weight gain is so important, to keep control of that. So, all of that to say that when we change our eating habits, and in light of the Kenzen Vital Balance and Roger Drummer talking about giving your brain protein first thing in the morning and getting a little better control over that craving or whatever it may be, and trying to eliminate the sugar out of our diets, I think it's real important just to be aware of some of that part, where it can lead to. So any thoughts or comments real quick?
Yeah, I'd like to say something, Jeannie, if it's okay, regards to the new diabetes disease that's out called type 3. Sure you've all heard of it. Maybe Roger even discussed it a little bit. But that's now that what they're finding, because of so much sugar in people that are diabetics, that type 3, they're not starting to figure out that that could be the reason for Alzheimer's and dementia and those kind of things, because the brain is getting so much sugar because of the amount of carbohydrates that people are working, that are eating, I should say. And that's why I'm really excited about the Vital Balance, is because what a preventive way to stop that situation of, in my opinion, the new type 3 diabetic, and that is to be taking the Vital Balance to get the ketones to the brain of the food other than the sugar. And I really feel that, you know, Roger talked about that, but I really feel that this product is absolutely a way of preventing the new diabetes that's going to be, you're going to start hearing an awful lot more about it, I believe. And that's the type 3. And what a way we have now to prevent that type of a situation in our own bodies, but yet of our friends and families and newly cured associates or customers.
Mm-hmm. So, Monty, I've not heard of the type 3 diabetes. What is the definition of that? Just what you said, or?
Yeah, that's what they're figuring, is that they, because of Alzheimer's and dementia, that they're finding that there's a lady that her husband had a very bad case. Her name was Mary Newport, and she was she's got a book out, and she was having these real problems with her husband in regards to Alzheimer's, and she started to, now this is because I'm so excited about coconut oil, and have been for quite some time because of some situations on another call that we had, we did quite a bit of studying on it, but that the ketones that are so important, when she started feeding him the coconut oil, and basically all, it's just the medium-chain triglyceride. And what's in our product? Medium-chain triglycerides. When she used to draw a clock, one of the deals of Alzheimer's, a test is you draw a circle and then you have them put in the where the 12, 1, 2, he could hardly, when if you looked at it in the book, you'd think it was a two-year-old that was drawing a clock. And when she got him on the MCTs through coconut oil and just plain old MCTs, which you can purchase on the market, is that it was amazing how he came back to where he could even laugh, joke, get around, do things around the house that he couldn't do before. So this vital balance with these medium-chain triglycerides, and I believe that the type 3 diabetes is strictly what is causing the dementias and the Alzheimer's, in my opinion, and I've got a few books in regards to that, but that's why this product is absolutely, in my opinion, I don't care if you want to lose weight, gain weight, what it, stand on your head in the corner, vital balance, every one of us should be utilizing that vital balance the first thing in the morning. I get up at 6:30 every morning, and the first thing I do, and I mean the first thing I do, is I get out of my bed, go to my waterfall, give myself 8 ounces, mix myself nothing more than the protein shake, and I drink that. I really believe that's something that we all should be doing just because, and I know that when Jeannie talked about carbohydrates is the worst thing anybody, in my opinion, can be eating in large amounts of it because it will take you into a diabetic situation, eventually pre-diabetics or whatever, and our bodies can't function properly with those spikes that we get in a meal when we have so many carbohydrates in our body. It's just, it's bad for our kidneys, it's bad for our brain, all of our organs, ourselves even. It affects our mood. It means whether we're lethargic or whether we're, you know, all that sort of stuff. But that's all I want to say, I guess, right now, or I could get carried away a little bit.
That's great.
What's your favorite book on that? Could I ask that, Jeannie? Ask him what his favorite book is on that.
Yes, yeah.
The title of your favorite book on the medium MCTs, MCPs.
Yeah, I'll tell you who he is. He's a Dr. Fife, just like F-I-F-E, and he's from the Coconut Research organization, and he's got some great books out, and I don't know the exact title of the book. Oh, the one that I have, it's about how to cure. Just give me a second, I'll run and get it. Be right back. Go ahead with talking.
Okay, thanks, Bonnie. Oh, that's awesome. Good. Well, and there's a little article in the Vegetarian Times by Neil Bernard who's talking about brain, feed your brain, how to sharpen your memory and all that, and he mentions something in there about that, too. I'm just recalling that. And he's also talking about how good exercise is, not only for your heart, but for your brain. So that's one of our points, too. If you can work up to 40 minutes 3 times a week, a brisk walk, which means aerobic and frequency, those are the two importance, to get aerobic and to do it frequently throughout the week. Over the next year, this simple exercise reversed the age-related shrinking of the brain that occurs in most sedentary people, particularly in the hippocampus, the part of the brain that's critical for memory. But it was the medium chain fats too was important, and also eating the neglected foods like beans and green leafy vegetables are important.
The name of that book is first of all, it's by Bruce Fife.
Bruce
Fife, F-I-F-E, and the foreword is by Russell Blaylock. I'm sure some of you know of Dr. Blaylock.
Mm-hmm.
But the name of the book is Stop Alzheimer's Now. And then it goes on and says, How to Prevent and Reverse Dementia, Parkinson's, ALS, Multiple Sclerosis, and Other Neurodegenerative Disorders. And they've even taken children that have
develop epilepsy, and they put these kids on high, medium-chain triglyceride diets, and they've been actually take people, one child he was having over 60 seizures a day, and they've been actually able to either totally stop or significantly decrease the seizures in these children. And that's why I think that Beacon doing what they did by putting the medium-chain triglycerides in there is, like I say, I don't care who you are, what you're, I don't care if you're 1 year old or whatever. And Roger talks about that, but he talks about the proper dosage to give a young child like that. But boy, I'll tell you, when we, if we can take our children and we can start protecting their brains, I really think it's one of the keys to solving a lot of our type, I'll just call it dementia and Alzheimer's further on down the road, because our children are just flat getting too much carbohydrates and we're destroying their brains.
Yeah. Amen to that. All right. Thank you, Monty. Appreciate that. And good questions there, Char, too. Thank you.
It's also been shown that the brains of obese people have shrunk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Something I heard yesterday on Oz, anyone else who saw it may have heard it also. If you eat 60% of your food intake for the day by 3 o'clock, you lose weight quicker and better. It's almost like we learned in Maine, Char, but it's put a different kind of, I mean, to hear it said that way was wow.
Okay, how, by what percentage?
60% by 3 o'clock. So if you're having a huge salad for dinner, that's not even going to be 40% if you're not having much more than that.
Hmm. Okay, so 60% of your food that you're eating for the day.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting way of putting it.
Mm-hmm, it is. It definitely is.
I can imagine what the energy level for the day does also.
Yeah. I was thinking, too. In light of a recipe, I'm looking at the clock here. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is too fun. And Shard said something about how I know all about these herbs. It's like, I do. But in the back of the Vegetarian Times magazine, there is a... Deborah Madison, she's a James Beard Foundation Award founding chef of San Francisco's pioneering veg restaurant, Greens, whatever. She talks about tarragon and asparagus. And it says, if tomatoes have basil and carrots have dill, asparagus has a special friend in the world of herbs, and that's tarragon. So, and she feels that because tarragon's one of the early spring herbs, just like asparagus is a spring vegetable, that there's a seasonal affinity there that makes them pair so well together. But she said, of course, not that asparagus wouldn't be right with basil, dill, or the other classic fine herbs, you know, but the anise notes of tarragon make this herb on its own somehow even more right. So she said you can use the tarragon finely chopped. You can put it in an herb butter, a salsa verde, or a vinaigrette. And all of those are naturals with asparagus, whether the asparagus is steamed or simmered or roasted or eaten raw in a salad. So just another thing we could do with our asparagus.
I just went off the subject on another one, but I was asked it yesterday, and I'd like to ask Nancy how much of the turmeric were you putting in your drink?
A heaping teaspoon.
A heaping teaspoon. Okay.
Oh, the heaping.
How much?
Heaping teaspoon of cinnamon also. And then I had my second shake with just one scoop of Vital Balance. But again, I did the turmeric and the cinnamon. And something I heard a while ago on one of the doc shows, if you add a little bit of black pepper with the turmeric, it absorbs, the turmeric works better. Mm. So this morning I put a little black pepper in also.
Wow. I put cinnamon in mine yesterday. It was delicious.
Yeah.
Ricky loved it, too.
Taste, yeah. I don't like it plain.
We did some beet greens this morning.
Ooh.
Yeah. With cinnamon, too.
So you're putting it in the shake in the morning?
Yeah. Well, I happen to have some, just a few leaves left, and I wanted to use them.
One, but not the morning. I'm just doing plain Vital Balance with the spices because waiting for an okay from Roger whether you should just do the protein in the morning or it's okay to add the greens.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And you know, I'm thinking how I felt, and I think just the plain protein in the morning lasted me a little better.
Mm.
Then when I added the greens, because today I had my shake early. We got it really early today, and then I was hungry about an hour later.
Yeah, I'm waking up hungry almost, which is
that's good though.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should feel that true hunger.
Good, at least from what we learned in Maine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Hey, Nancy.
Any other last comments or questions?
Somebody just said my name.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello?
Hey, this is Steve. Any way you could type that up in an email and send it to me?
Which part?
Which, doing with the spices.
Oh, sure.
We'll put that in as the recipe today.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. That's great. Thanks, Steve.
Hey,
well,
thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. I guess without any further ado, then, we should go on and do the things that we need to do today. Have fun and enjoy, and we will be back again tomorrow.
Thanks for the good info, Jeannie.
Thank you. Thanks for his contribution to it. That was very good also.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. Your enthusiasm is catching, Monty.
One of the things I like about Dr. Fife is every report or everything that's been done, he's always got a reference to it, and there's gobs and gobs of references in that book. And one of the things I like to do when I read a book or read about a subject, and that is to validate that what I'm reading is backed up by other things, other sources, other than just the author of the book itself. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good to hear Monty back on the calls.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely.
Well, thank you. Well, appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.